Blog Talk Radio.
It has been said that sex is a sacred act. After all, it is sex that created us. And if sex can create us, perhaps it can create anything. Sex magic. The topic tonight here on Transcendence with your host, Darren Bouquer. Join. And welcome to another episode of Transcendence with your host, Darren Bouquer. I'm Daniel Michael, the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And I see that Marcy there logged out and came back in. I hope the signal's going okay. There's been some problems at Blog Talk Radio recently. Tonight, our topic is sex magic. And before we get to it and bring on our host, I want to just do some show and station announcements, network announcements, and of course, tonight, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is Transcendence with your host, Darren Bouquer. And on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. is Walking on the Sidewalk with your host, Kevin Baird. Kevin can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m., our one and only a.m. show now, is Mary Thielen with Inner Wisdom. Mary Thielen's been on the air for 14 years or so on a television show called Telepathic TV. And then, of course, Wednesday, we have the flagship show, Main Street Universe, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Fridays at midnight, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your host, Jesse Ann Nichols George. She's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the workbook, and she's working on a third one right now. I think she's just about wrapped it up. So what I'm going to go ahead and do here is bring on our host. And here he comes. Here's the microphone. Welcome, Darren.
Hello. How are you, Daniel?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you again.
Yes, yes. Good to talk to you. And kind of a rainy Sunday here in New Orleans. It's Jazz Fest, so.
Oh, Jazz Fest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jazz Fest. So I've got a little Billy Joel, a lot of live entertainment, and there is presently Johnny's Jamaican Grill is parked in front of my house, so that smells quite good right now. I don't know. I'm going to get some jerk chicken later or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, maybe get my sex magic going after that one. That'll be good. But, tonight's topic, I really, it's something that, I don't know, I never really thought that I would be picking as a topic for public forum, but it is one of my, you know, well, my favorite tenets of magic, but it's also, it's powerful. It's powerful stuff. It's focusing your tantra, focusing your kundalini from the base of your root chakra and just really connecting with that through a very concentrated visualization technique and funneling it into and through the power of the orgasm, you know? Now, it's not just that aspect of it, but it's also the nuances of, you know, getting to that point and working with that. So it's pretty interesting.
Hmm. And, of course, there's many different views people can have for sex and magic or sex and spirituality. Of course, some traditions will teach abstaining, mm-hmm. including from abstaining from self-gratification, can help you build up a lot of spiritual power. And then and some do that for the purposes of releasing it later. You know, so there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah, if you look at the monastic life, you know, they view the act or you know, the ideology behind coitus as being, you know, something that took you away from, you know, God's beauty and the beauty of nature and that sort of thing. However, do we really think that the monastic people that lived in the abbey were not having any sort of orgasm ever? I don't know.
It's
kind of unlikely, right? I don't know.
Only that person can know that.
Yeah, right. So that's a personal thing. It's something that just recently my other half and I were having this conversation about, and I kind of so I didn't really let someone know that I was doing that during. And somehow we were just tired the rest of the day. Because it uses up a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So when you're, anytime I do any sort of really mammoth manifestation, I mean, I am zapped. I usually have to take a nap or something. I mean, if it's a mammoth one, and I really, you know, so it's good to get the other person's permission.
Yeah.
That's always a good idea. Or else, you know, they'll find themselves a little zapped. Or, I mean, it could have any number of different, you know, alternate effects on that person. So there's that. It's simply, you know, there's all sorts of ways to look at it, and you can get very, very intricate about it. You can paint all kind of sigils all over each other. You can, you know, fill up a baby pool full of, you know, oil or whatever. I mean, like, you know, it doesn't, I mean, that's not totally important, but the thing is that tying into harnessing and utilizing the power of actual orgasm and utilizing that, because that is where your pineal gland and your cerebral cortex really link in together, and you have a direct funnel into the most powerful part of the brain at that point. So if we direct that energy like a laser pointer, okay, like Qigong teaches you how to like localize and funnel your energy to almost laser pinpoint precision, some disciplines in Qigong, and some disciplines in Qigong can make it like a fire hose of energy, you know. But if you can do that with the power of an orgasm and direct it at something, let's say, I don't know why every time we talk about this subject, I'm always like, oh, I want a new SUV. But it's like, I mean, let's say you want a new SUV for the house. Let's say you want to get your kitchen redone. Or let's say, you know, you really don't want to pay, you know, alimony anymore. Or let's say you're, you know, you want your dog to pee outside instead of in the kitchen. That's what I would like. I want to funnel that in. Hopefully that can happen. So it's really interesting. You know, process. Have you ever tried anything like that, Dan?
Sex for manifestation? No, I have not tried a practice.
Not once. Anything close to it, like in the neighborhood?
I mean, physical things, yes, but actually a sex act for a specific manifestation, no, but things like...
Well, have you been involved in something and found yourself funneling energy while... Just not really. Just hasn't come up, really.
But I felt, you know, physical energies with certain people, yes. Like, where I've been near people, and I've been, like, say, in like, laying in the same bed, and I was in their dream, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like because, you know, sort of a...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so, yes, I showed up also in their, you know, ethereal side as well.
Right, right. That's interesting, too. You know, and sex magic isn't just for manifesting, like, I want a new, you know, dining room set or something like that. You know, you can... It's for synchronicity, too.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know that person. And, of course, the act of sex itself or whatever, you know, foreplay or whatever you're doing is going to bring you close to that person, but... When we tie in our root chakra and then all the way up through to our crown chakra and say, okay, let's meld our energies with this person. Let's sync our minds together. Let's sync our souls together. Think about that expansive thing. If you really want to get to know somebody, that's definitely the way to do it. And then think about the astral like plane and what you could do on the astral plane during a sex act. If you guys synchronize each other, and then you could both leave your bodies at the same time.
And I will say that I have had connections with women that they would have an astral projection, and they thought they saw me, and we were in different, like, locations, like, during the experience, including a one that used to do a free writing, that used to wake up and, like, write letters to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's been some things, like I said, specifically sex magic for manifestation, no, but I have had some sort of like, you know, I have a physical relationship with somebody and we're also sharing, you know, spiritual stuff, so.
You know what, you might be really good at bilocation.
Hmm.
What you just described to me was when once upon a time I decided that I was going to learn about bilocation. And so did I tell you my dream about the tower and the books and the whole... The little Aborigine boy. Did I tell you that one?
I don't think you have.
Okay, I'm going to roll through this again. And this is interesting, everybody, so you'll appreciate it. One night I had a dream that there was a book, a tower made of old leather-bound books with iron binding. And the tower rose up to the sky. So I decided to climb the tower. So I'm climbing the tower, you know, much like Rapunzel or Jack and the Beanstalk or whatever, right? And as I'm getting up to the top of the tower... These hands come out of the leather bindings of the book and pick me up and throw me over the railing of the tower, and I land on this, like, parapet. And when I get there, there is a little girl, and I know immediately that the little girl is a part of a pair of twins. The twins are very old, like, venerable, wise, magic-y people, and they're supposed to teach me all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, my brother's not here, so we really can't teach you all that much. And I'm like, well, when's he going to be back? And I'm like, and she's like, you're just going to have to wait. And then suddenly she ran through this door, right? And the door, I went to go follow her through the door, and the door started, like, you know how, like, if they could do, like, a retinal scan, like in some sci-fi movies and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But the door was doing it in a magic sense.
Oh,
and then
okay.
The door, like, kind of, so it kind of was doing this whole thing, and then it turned into, like, an armored knight and just kind of stepped aside. So then I follow this little girl into this octagonal room. Now, an octagonal room, you know, it's like an octagonal shape is very magical, you know, in a lot of different cultures and stuff like that. So there's eight different doors. Suddenly I see the little boy, okay? Now, the little girl's gone. I don't know where she went, but the little boy. And the little boy is like, hey, check this out. And he goes walking through one of the doors. And then behind me a door opens, and... these two French people come out of it, okay? But it's the little boy, except he's two different people, and he keeps changing into different people, and he keeps walking out of different sides of the room, you know? So there's always at least a group of people coming out of one of the doors, but it's always him.
Mm.
So I'm realizing what the point is that he was trying to teach me by location.
Ah, okay.
How to be in two places at the same time. And at the end, there was like five little Aborigine boys, And the last little Aborigine boy was real pudgy and had a big afro. And I went running after him, and I grabbed him and picked him up, and he looked at me, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we understood each other. And then I woke up, right? So it was all about my location. So that night, I go into Sticks and Stones the next day, and Bubble comes in, and she's like, Darren, what were you doing? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you were in my kitchen last night.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah, apparently she was walking down her hallway, and I poked my head out into the hallway, and I waved to her, like, one of my smirky waves or whatever, and she's like, yeah, you're in my house. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So then Gwendolyn says she saw my face in the frying pan when she was washing dishes. And then my friend here in New Orleans, right, this is before I moved back here, said she saw me walking down the street. Like, she knew it was me. It was totally me. And, like, one of my crazy, like, you know, outfits and the whole thing. So that whole thing happened because of the dream. But it's by location, which is a little bit like what you were saying.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And, we had a caller and we lost it.
we lost her, yeah. I just kind of went, I know. I thought I would finish that so it's a concise, you know.
Oh, no, because I remember you mentioning a connection with Gwen and Bubbles. And saying you had an interesting experience with them. So I guess that was...
Oh, yeah.
I believe that was referring to. But I hadn't actually heard the story, the tower story.
Mm-hmm. Gwendolyn and I, we had those Lemurian dream crystals at the store.
Oh.
So she could put one on her head, and then I would have, you know, and we could send energy to each other across the store and, like, zap the pajamas out of each other pretty much.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting when you're...
the pajamas out of each other. You know, so... And it's the thing is, with Lemurian dream crystals, they put you immediately into that mode, which is, like, what I call, like, spell mode.
Mm.
You know, which is where you can get that, build that energy, and then send it out towards something. Which, also, is what we're talking about tonight. It's during, you know, sex magic. That's basically what you're doing as well. So for those who are listening, if you want to manifest something powerful in your life, I would highly recommend purchasing or finding a Lemurian dream crystal or just a Lemurian crystal that it refers to the ancient forgotten city of Lemuria in the South Pacific at Sink. Much like Atlantis. So what's the connection with these crystals and how the name, I'm not sure. Apparently someone told me that they get them from, like, lightning strikes sand in Brazil or something. I don't know. So don't quote me on that. I'm not entirely sure. But so.
Now, in your practice, because I know you do some different intuitive consulting, like, forms. You do palmistry, you do tarot, you just do spirit guide talks, you do exercises. Has anybody or any one of your clients ever, like, asked you for a specific sex magic exercise?
Have any of my clients asked me for sex magic?
I mean, not you to perform it, but asked you for, like, hey, what if I've heard of this, and what if I do that?
Oh, yeah, people ask me about it all the time, actually. Yeah, they ask me about it. They know they don't ask me to help them do it. But yeah, that would not be professional.
Yeah.
It might be
technically illegal if they're paying you for it.
Yeah, it's not exactly clinical. People do ask me about it all the time. We find that, unfortunately, about this type of thing, we get, you know, you get the little, the boyfriend and girlfriend who are real gothy and like Aleister Crowley.
Right.
And believe me, I'm kind of gothy myself, so I'm not slamming goth. But, you know, it's the two kids who've got Necronomicon copies at home. And Aleister Crowley, and we're going to practice chaos magic, and we're going to try sex magic and try this stuff. So certain people can take it and just take it over into the realm of real stupidity if they want to. Some people, I mean, they'll use it to attack other people, which, unfortunately, you can do that, if you funnel the power of the orgasm, you funnel it into whatever you want.
Right.
If you want to do that, you know, it's an orgasm.
All about
it's,
energy
it's
exchange.
Like it's like a power. It's a power of, you know, it's just like a tidal wave crashing against the shore. So it's really something that you can utilize for whatever you want, really.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Has anyone brought it up to you before? Your travels and journeys?
I've definitely heard of people using it, and I know some people. In fact, there's a couple people I know that have said they've used it with great success before.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty.
One of them was Kevin, was having a story about that.
I'll be called in. Maybe he'll call me.
Yeah, he may be around. He may be joining at some point.
Let's take our caller, buddy, that we lost.
Yeah, we have somebody there. I think it's
804. This might be my friend here that I talked to earlier in the week.
All right, we're going to go ahead.
Call
and
back. I don't know if that's her number, and I don't think it is. And maybe the 646 one. I'm not sure, but either way. Take the 804 one, so that way.
You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. My name
good
is
evening.
I'm calling from Virginia.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
And I had a very bizarre situation with
what's your name,
a
sir?
Woman. I'm sorry?
What's your name, sir?
Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Oh, okay.
And I came across a woman who was a beautiful spiritual teacher. And when I eventually saw a picture of her on the internet, and she's a reverend of some kind, she said, "Which picture did you see?" I said, "Well, you have black glasses and a black dress on." She said, "Oh, the one with my boobs hanging out." Oh, yes, Reverend. anyway.
So she had her boobs hanging out. Okay.
Yeah, that's how she's talking to me. So we mirrored each other unbelievably, and eventually through conversation, she became becoming deceptive and elusive and manipulative and started projecting things onto my truth, which I wouldn't allow. So when I started looking at her traits.
She was projecting things into your dream, is what you're saying.
All kinds of stuff. She was trying to mind manipulate me. And then I discovered from her traits that I was dealing with a full-blown narcissist. I called her out on that, and she got threatening in a paranormal way, which I immediately
How did she do that, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, she claimed that she
could, just started to curse, like, I'm going to curse you.
Well, no, she was saying that she could sue me for slander. I laughed right at that and said, I would love to see that in court because it's your own words out of your own mouth on your own radio show. So she shut down her show and jerked all the archive shows off that I was on and started running from me in fear. She cut communications completely. And I still feel a deep connection for this woman. I sent her letters because I had her address and everything, which she
so
then
you're sympathizing
after,
with this woman is what you're saying. You're still interested in interacting with this person?
Well, only because I feel that she's like a dark twin flame, the dark night of the soul kind of thing. And I'm not looking to save her or anything, but I stand on my truth, and I'm not going to allow anybody to tarnish that because I have some big things I'm bringing into West Mankind. I thought she might be a part of that, and I think she still could if she can come to her own.
Do you have any psychokinetic ability or any sort of spiritual animus to battle her or protect yourself at all?
I have full protection. I have I don't fool around. I resonate with Jesus Christ, and anything I can't handle, I put in His hands. And
okay, good.
I've been through
some
pretty
people
heavy
don't,
duty
you know,
stuff.
Some people don't have that, so that's good.
Yeah, that's why she was threatening to me in a paranormal way that was quite bizarre. And again, I put it in check, but. The thing is, when I was writing, I got a call from somebody who's a celebrity who had some interaction with her, and she sent a poison email saying to him that I was psychically raping her.
Okay, wait, so now they're accusing you of being the aggressor.
There you go. Yeah, so there she's further. She's really insane in some respects, and I sent her light. of, but
so who is Zoom and who is the question then? Is what the or now were you doing anything back? I mean, were I mean you weren't, you know, so they were wrong, right? You weren't doing anything to her.
No, I never even met her.
Okay.
So, what it is?
Daniel, are you following this?
She uses her spirituality and womanly attributes to attract people and then to mind manipulate them and put them in fear to control them.
Okay. Did you have interactions with this? You said you met her in person once, right?
No, I never met her in person.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
you're
what
just
I
receiving
did was
communications in your dreams, is what you're saying.
One friend said that there may have been some past life issues or whatever, and that I don't know about that, but either way, she is, you know, I caught on to what she was doing and ruined her whole ball game. She may have actually extorted money or done things to people in the past, and she hooked into a whale, hook, line, and sinker. She had me, but she didn't know how to play me, so she found that I'm sinking her ship.
Okay. When did you get any sort of succubus type attack where, like, you were asleep and you couldn't move, or you were frozen in bed and you were, like, half awake but you couldn't move, anything like that?
No, but at one point, again, I felt a very deep twin flame connection in the beginning, and at one point, when she was manipulating my energies, it felt like somebody put a lasso or a rope around my heart and was just tightening it. And I was really having physical pain until I
released. That's a real clumsy, like, love type spell. That's something where there's no finesse to that. That's somebody just doing whatever they can. They're going to throw out the most powerful thing they could possibly do just to wrap you up, and that's where you don't have any control. However, because you had protection, it didn't work totally.
Right. Yeah. That's when I started zeroing in and really paying attention to every detail that I could to see what she was all about, and that's she started running in fear.
So, what do you have a question about what happened or?
I'm just wondering.
Do you have any interest in actually
related to love
person,
energies?
Or?
Can dark energies be transformed by light energies? Overall, I'm not looking to save her, but I'm hoping that whatever.
Is there any redeeming value, or is there anything you can do to?
Yeah,
to bring her around to the lighter side of spirituality.
She's pretty far gone, but. Nothing is ever totally hopeless when you work with God, and I'm just hoping, even if I never met her, that she might come into the light.
Okay. It's just funny that you're calling me. You're talking to somebody who's probably spent on probably a large from 17 to but presently 38 years old, and I've spent a lot of time with a lot of ladies that have channeled a lot of, you know. In that same the description, you gave something to that respect. And while I've gotten to know that kind of fragmented mentality, and when you're dealing with somebody that consistently wants to use spirituality to manipulate people, they're going to have to learn on their own. You know, that's me saying that intellectually, not spiritually, but I'm going to ask too, spiritually. But I'm giving you my intellectual opinion, which is that they're just going to have to get their hands slapped. And it might be by the universe, it might be by Archangel Michael, it might be by Tyrannus, the Lord of Thunder. I don't know what it's going to be by, but if somebody's going to come by and say, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. And they'll learn, and then they can start rebuilding from there. But let's ask, purple or gold for the cards I'm going to use?
You want me to choose?
Yeah.
I'll go with purple.
Purple, okay. All right. Use the Revelations deck. I'm going to ask my spirit guide about this. Do you know this person's first name, I would imagine?
Well, there again, the different energies, because she had a first name that she changed to another name.
What's her magical name, or whatever she calls herself?
Well, the current name that she uses is Ananda, which means bliss, A-N-A-N-D-A.
Okay. All right, one moment. Actually, I could see you learning from this situation. She kind of wants to play cat and mouse with you.
Yes,
so let me get this
exactly.
out so you understand.
And she was very helpful to me too. So that's that tears up my heart too. Yeah.
Like I was giving you my example of how I've spent so much time with certain women that have channeled weird spiritual energies that weren't exactly the most scrupulous people on the planet. However, I learned how to deal with those people, okay? And I grow. It made me a better spiritual worker and healer to deal with people that were fragmented and needed help. So for you, it's going to improve. You kind of need this situation, which is odd, but that's what I got. And I saw basically, I say cat and mouse, but I actually saw the both of you, you're on one end of a ping pong table and she's on the other one. And
right.
you're batting the thing back and forth to each other. And she's got a big Cheshire cat smile on her face, so she likes it. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's okay as long as you make sure you're protected. That's all, And please realize that you're playing with fire, Just don't, don't play too much and pay attention to, just like a candle, don't leave it unattended.
No.
Know what she's doing at every given moment, and don't give her any hair.
Right. Now, she cut the communications, and when she comes back, I keep tapping people into what she's all about from all different realms, so that she's even broken some laws from somebody in law enforcement that I know, and I'm not pursuing that. But,
slander, though, too. You're getting involved in low-level base energy and when you start to slander people, too. She's pulling you down to her level.
Right.
Just be careful. You're going to get, if you play in the mud, you're going to get muddy.
No, I took it to a point so that I could have her document a little bit more of what she was doing, and now it's all stopped as far as any further contact from my end. So the ball's in her court, and the ball's in her court sitting quietly, all kinds of gatekeepers are protecting me too.
Now, going by the theme of the show, if we're talking about gatekeepers, maybe if you do run into her, you could be the key master.
I'm sorry, do what?
I'm using a Ghostbusters reference. I was just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, though, you could probably have some rockin' manifestation through sexual interaction. This is somebody that would totally use sex magic, that sounds like to me.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the theme of the show tonight,
right.
by the way. So this is somebody that sounds like they would definitely. Now, the thing is, somebody like that might be prone to use sex, and then they sink into your energy, and then they put in the controls on somebody. Every
right.
touch, every interaction is linking into your physiology, and so that way you need that person.
Yes, that's what I felt initially, but I know how to, control that so that I'm not pulled in any deeper than what she had me at one point. That'll never happen again.
We're going to pull one card for you, too, before you go. One moment.
All right.
Okay. You have the Page of Cups. The Page of Cups shows a young merman swimming up to the top of the ocean, being followed by several fish. He's young, he's happy, he's enthusiastic, and he's raising the cup of his own feelings and his own emotions up to the surface of the water. So he wants to share his soul and his spiritual inspirations with the world. And the thing is, this is a youthful card. So there's an air of you being reborn in spirit and emotionally. And you know what? It's beautiful. I think that just watch out. Don't let anybody ruin it for you. Don't let this, darkness ruin it for you. You know what I'm saying? You have a real youthful spirit. And maybe, you are part of the equation that's going to make a transition in her life. you're not going to be the whole equation, but you'll be part of it. So that's good.
Yeah, I feel that somehow I have to be there for when she does crash and burn, just to show that there is unconditional love in people, even though she didn't have it, the other people do. And part of the reason I stay there too is because I believe, and even though she told a lot of lies, I believe one of the truths she told was she had been sexually abused by an older brother as a youth.
That's the formula. Sexual abuse as a child, you know, kind of anti-men, and I'm going to use manipulate men. It's a cycle. However, we can choose to break that cycle when we want. And I work with a lot of my clients. I work with Archangel Michael. I work with Raphael, the heel. I work with a lot of different ways that we can get past this, but we have to address it. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to never trust anybody. But unfortunately, that's how some people get by. I mean, it's difficult.
I've been through some pretty heavy-duty stuff, and again, I send her light and love, but she thought she had me, and she didn't know what she was dealing with, so she got a good taste.
Well, get your badminton paddle ready, because you're not done batting it back and forth. That's okay, though. You have youthful. I'm saying I like this youthful card for you. You should have a King of Cups. You're not the King of Cups. You're going through a renaissance. So I like that. That's good. That's exuberant.
That's very interesting and very insightful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great evening.
Thank you very much, sir, for joining us here on Transcendence. And some interesting things going on there. I think there's the allure of the distance. This girl who kind of has this dark, sort of dark.
Did you get my Keymaster comment?
Say again?
You got my Keymaster comment, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He kept saying gatekeeper. I'm like, I got to say the guy. You know?
Yeah.
You're setting me up here. It's the theme of the show, right?
I'd also like to mention that you asked gold and purple, and some people in our listening audience, especially those who aren't as familiar with you, which two tarot decks are you reading from, by the way?
Oh, okay. Well, something told me, my spirit guide gave me the feeling that I should mention the deck that I'm using when he picked purple. I have to tell you, this is a great deck to learn with. It is the Revelations tarot deck. The great thing about the Revelations tarot deck, and it's by an Asian artist, I think John Cho or something like that, but the art is really wonderful. It's kind of a little bit angular, but the thing is, what's so great about this deck is it shows the inversions pictured on the card. So let's say with the Seven of Swords, the Seven of Swords is about uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
So your thoughts are all over the place. Swords are thoughts, ideas, articulations of intellect. But when you have the Seven of Swords, your thoughts are uncertain. So it shows somebody really sneaky when the card is right side up. It shows them kind of sneaky, kind of creeping around. But then if it's upright, it's upside down and it's inverted, it shows this person with their palms together in a zen-like moment, having received some sort of intellectual moment of clarity. So every card shows what the inversion is.
Hmm.
And what's great, I love to use it for clients that when I'm in person with them, so I can show them, they can see what the inversion looks like on the card.
Okay.
Which is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, you got the King of Wands, and it shows a really happy, nice king, you know, with his flaming staff and all this stuff with, like, gold, you know, like, wonderful blonde hair. But then the inversion of it is the evil King of Wands with red hair and, like, menacing eyes and the controlling administrative force, you know. So it's really good. The gold one I'm using is the Gilded Tarot. And it's just kind of a gilded.
Didn't you have one with, Vedic themes or Hindu themes, I mean?
No. Yep. I do palmistry, but, yeah, no, I don't. Just because so sick of a lot of the Hindu imagery from the D.C. area. I just kind of over Lakshmi and all that jamming.
Oh, yeah, large Hindu population here. We have another caller here. I want to go ahead and take them, Darren.
Sure.
Darren. Hi, it's Helena.
Hi, Helena.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Got a couple questions for you, please.
Sure.
All right. Well, one I wanted to ask you, because I remember a long time ago with a tarot reading that they
mm-hmm.
said if a card's inverted, then it does turn itself around as well. Is that, what's your take on that? Because I know you got
you mean
a lot
it
of...
Turns it, when you say turns itself around, what is that? What do you mean by that?
That if a card comes up inverted, that it can also go the other way eventually. It can be right side
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it okay.
Teachable
you have an elemental force that's happening. Okay, let's say, for example, let's use a death card. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the death card, oh, it's see, like this Revelations deck, Daniel? The death card for this one is Kali, which is interesting. I just got through saying I don't like certain
right.
But the death card with this deck is Kali.
Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows Kali kind of with the sickle and kind of reaping. But then if you invert it, it shows a baby mm-hmm. being born.
Right.
So it shows the inception of life. So death and life itself. So, but the baby's not coming out of it out of the womb. It wants to stay in the womb. So it doesn't
mm-hmm.
want that transition to happen. So let's say if you get the death card, it's going to happen. You get the death card. See, that's the perfect example of this. The death card, if you get the death card, it's going to happen. You know, you can't avoid it. So
uh-huh.
if you can, I always use the example, this is like the verbiage I use. It's like a dark tunnel of change. So when you get the death card, you're probably going to have 3 months of weirdness, 4 months of like, I don't know what the hell's happening. No one's going to know what's happening with you, because you're in a dark tunnel, you can't see anything. Some
mm-hmm.
people like to bring a flashlight in the tunnel and those headlamp glasses and sparklers, and they're really, really trying to know what's going on. They're trying really hard. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. You're not going to know what's going on. So that is the inverted death card. So really, I'm really trying to figure this out. You can't figure it out. It's just you're going through a metamorphosis. It's
mm-hmm.
like a caterpillar in a cocoon.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
I'm not really clear, but I don't want to take all your time. But
card are you talking about specifically? Let's talk about that.
Okay, the Lovers came up inverted. So
okay.
can that go right side up? And in my situation with prayer and
so,
with other
uh-huh.
things that
yeah,
don't
well,
interfere
given,
with,
mm-hmm.
with free will.
Mm-hmm.
Can
given
that
prayer, the Lovers right side up or upside down is still tied into the same mammoth energy.
Uh-huh.
It's mammoth. Okay?
Okay.
I was just watching a movie earlier today with Steve Carell and Julianne Moore, and he's talking about how even when she cheated on him and he hated her, he still loved her.
Right.
He's like, I love her at this point. I love her at this point. I love her at this point. Even when I hated her, I loved her. That's
gotcha.
The inverted death card. That's the inverted Lover's card. So can it turn over? That's probably one that turns over exceptionally easy. The two cards that are really exceptional like that are the death card, because if you get the death card, you're going to have to change at some point anyway. And the Lover's card, you know how it is. There's a commercial out for like Häagen-Dazs gelato, and it's these two Italian people. Have you seen it? It's like two Italian lovers, and they're like arguing and screaming and hollering at each other, and then their faces get closer and closer, and then they start kissing, and then before they're even done kissing, they start arguing again. So you get my point?
I do. So
mm-hmm.
in a situation, in a love situation that maybe isn't turning out the way I'd like, and again, without encroaching on anyone's free will, what else
right.
besides prayer can I do? I mean, honoring free will.
What kind of prayer can you do?
No, what else can I do?
Okay, wait. Just please repeat what you just said.
Okay. In a situation with the Lovers reversed and
right.
wanting,
what kind of prayer can you do to make
what kind of prayer or anything else can I do to make that right side up, again, without infringing on an individual's free will?
Send light,
mm-hmm.
sunshine, and a rose quartz. I always say this, like in these situations, I say picture a rose quartz heart, like
mm-hmm.
a big one, like a big giant rose quartz heart, as big as your head or a watermelon, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And picture it, you iridescent with like sunlight radiating out of it. And then send that heart to the person you care about. Here's the thing, when we know, and you know what rose quartz is, obviously, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So anybody that knows anything about rose quartz knows that it's the most benevolent, nice, affectionate, happy, fun, warm, kind, loving, that's what it's about. So there's nothing malign about that, okay?
Right.
If you send that to the person you care about, and now the way you market for you is you say, it's from me. And it reflects my feelings towards you, and I would love it if you had those same feelings. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You're not affecting free will at that point.
Okay.
Okay, what do you think, Daniel? Let's get Daniel to chime in on this
one. Okay, thanks, Daniel.
Daniel,
what
do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely you don't want to do things that are against someone's will when doing these things.
Right.
So, sending it out properly, like you said, the visual he gave you, I thought was a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like sending flowers or something, but spiritually.
Yeah,
you know, you're not beating someone over the head with, you know, it's just like, hey, I want to send you light, love, and kindness, and if you want to share in that with me, I'm letting you know it came from me.
Mm-hmm. And
you know?
Some people will talk about when you're trying to attract love. Of course, they'll just say, you show them the good qualities in yourself rather than, you know, manipulating them and go, oh, you know, you're going to love me kind of thing. So it's another way of doing something similar to that. It's just like giving a gift or giving, like he was saying, giving a spiritual version of flowers.
Now, there's also something benevolent you can do. I hate to keep going back to my topic tonight, but if you do have a chance to do have a physical interaction with this person, you can further your path together and do that synchronicity thing that I mentioned earlier in the show by linking the two of you together and not to control the other person, but to say, I want to meld with this person. And if it furthers your relationship, then so be it. If it doesn't and it just bottoms out right away, it might. But the thing is, you'll know right away. So if you get a chance to do that, definitely do some sort of manifestation so that way you two can sync up together. I think
okay,
that might be good.
Okay,
if and when you get the chance to do it.
Okay. And another question I have about my financial situation, how to make it better, and my career in acting, TV, film, singing, cabaret.
You're divesting your energy all over the place, Helena. Too much. Too much. Maybe you need to get out in the country or something. Get away from the city. That's why I don't go near New York. I hate that. My father lives in Edgewater, New Jersey. I don't go near it. I'm just too much of an empath. I get claustrophobic. So I'm not putting that on you, you know.
Well,
I'm
I am an empath, and it does make me crazy, but this is where I live.
It doesn't make you crazy? Uh-huh.
It does. It does.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I lived in before I moved in with my wife, I lived in the French Quarter. That was driving me nuts, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many people, tourists everywhere bumping into me all the time. It was making me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It can be crazy. So take some time. Don't divest your energy all over the place. One thing at a time. Solve one problem at a time.
Mm.
Believe me, I have to manifest for people all the time. Positivity, career, light, love, all kinds of stuff. So I have to balance. I have to spin a lot of plates. But I can't do everything at once at the same time. I have to marginalize, set aside time, and focus on one thing at a time. So that would be my advice for you.
Focus on one thing at a time. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard because I am doing several projects at once.
But like, say Sunday. So today's Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Focus on one project. Today, I want to focus on abundance. Do an abundance manifestation. Pray for abundance. Focus on today is all about abundance. Make some cinnamon muffins. Do all abundance stuff. And then Monday, you can do something different.
Okay, but. All right, but what about my career? What do you see for that?
What do I see for your career?
Yeah.
Okay. But we got to take another caller in a minute here. So.
All right.
Okay. Hold on. One more. We want to look at Helena's career. So I have the Hierophant. The Hierophant is a spiritual teacher, someone to inspire you, a high priest of sorts that is there to give you wisdom and expand your kind of spiritual path, but also do that with your career as well. So there's somebody that is going to be a gateway into the future of your career opportunities. I'm getting the Sun inverted. Delphi, calm down. I'm sorry. I have a puppy. The Sun inverted, you know, it's a lot of people promising stuff. It sounds great. It's just not gelling the way you want it to right now. The Swords. We talked about the Six of Swords just briefly not too long ago. So the Six of Swords, again, you're in a boat, you're trying to cross the lake, there's swords in the bottom of the boat, it's going to sink. You feel like it's not, you're trying to tell yourself this is not going nowhere. It's going to actually work out. And then the Three of Cups. You have two really happy, happy, happy cards, like the Sun and the Three of Cups, but they're both inverted. And then you get the Six of Swords. I think that you need to take a break for so many esoteric or aesthetic job situations and have that be the back burner, something that you do in the back, but have a main focus strain of money. I'm lucky enough that I can do a wonderfully esoteric thing, and that's what I do for a living. Okay, great. I'm a lucky person. Okay. It's not always that easy. So, I think you need a good financial foundation in something that maybe you're not incredibly interested in, but to just have that foundation in it, you know?
Okay.
So maybe something mundane. You need like a muggle job. Yes, Daniel, he has a muggle job, right?
Less and less.
less and less, but yeah, but see, less and less.
I'm
if
there.
You need to do
yeah.
it,
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you need to do it right now, then just do it right now. There's no harm in that. Believe me, up till about 4 years ago, I had to. You know, but I was a bartender. I love to bartend. I love to make like crazy, interesting cocktails, and I like talking to people, and I still do to talk to people, but. I don't have to like stock champagne and stuff now. I don't have to do any of that. And that's okay, Barbie. But you might need to and you know what? It can be meditative. Do something that's meditative for yourself. Where you can just sit and maybe just in your own space, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to do retail. Maybe so. This girl at my wife's work sells the seaweed stuff, lose a little something. I don't know what, but it's. I mean, maybe something that maybe a product you believe in that's homeopathic. You know, you get my point, right?
Yeah, I do.
It just needs to have money coming in that's consistent. Not
okay,
like maybe there's an audition for this little theater troupe and we're gonna put on, not working on. That's what I guess I got for you right now. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
and don't be shy. Give me a call next week or during the week or whatever.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
you, Elena. Have a great Sunday night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for joining us. All right. And that's an interesting thing. And we got a couple callers here. And I just want to briefly say. It's a funny thing because sometimes you do have to take that mundane job to survive. And I had. Definitely had been there when I started Mainstream Universe. I was in the complete throes of it. I mean, I was completely swamped by my day job, and I was exhausted doing the show. And I would just wake up after being at the store all night, and I didn't even know what days I was scheduled, so I didn't know when to schedule my show.
Nope.
So it was a funny thing. But anyway, I'm going to get to. Oh gosh, I turned around. And,
yeah. So it's like you. As long as you have that outlet, you know, if you do have to do your mundane job 4 days a week, and then, you know, you have two to three days out of the week where you're having your, you know, personal business or your aesthetic interest, then that's something that you can really use as a foundation to really build kind of a, you know, an existential sort of a base in yourself at that point.
Yeah. And another thing I'd like to announce for those that don't know that are out there listening is that I do not only have a gong in the room right now, as you can hear.
I like the gong.
I'm not out in the studio today. I'm in my room. And I refuse to do a show without hitting something. So, you know, usually it's cymbals and drums. But I do have a vehicle now. So, you know, I've progressed to that point, and everything's going slower than I would like.
Can you give me a ride to work tomorrow?
What's that?
Can you give me a ride to work tomorrow?
Sure. In New Orleans. And I, you know, I'm still at my day job, but just a couple days a week and just for a few hours. And I'm starting a small electrical business.
Oh.
And since we don't have a caller, and I'm really passionate about this now, maybe
it's hard for me. Did we lose a caller? Did we lose somebody?
We lost our caller.
We lost our caller. Okay. All right, go ahead. Yeah, no, tell me what you were talking about. I'm sorry.
I'm starting a small electrical business, and I'm really passionate about it. That's one thing that can free me, because I have the skill as an electrician. I haven't been using it for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also going to start pushing music as well, but I'm going to be working independently and become an entrepreneur. So maybe you can draw a card for me about my
electrical. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great. I think it's
something you can definitely cash in the D.C. area, doing any sort of electrical contracting event, something like that, you know? So I think that's good, but here, let's take a look. So what aspect of it am I looking at right now?
Just what, in getting my
life. Could you give me like a triad of different things there, so.
Okay.
Just look at your electrical.
Yeah, I was saying, I know I talked about a couple of different things. I apologize. No, I was saying specifically a card for success on my electrical business that I'm starting. And I'm going to get my license and everything. I'm going to start taking classes. I've already started taking, like, video classes, like, on YouTube and stuff like that, and just getting myself sharp again, because I haven't done the book side of it for a while. So, but I have been working. I've been doing some side jobs. So.
Oh, we got our caller back, I think.
Okay.
It?
So we'll go ahead and take it.
Take them, and then we'll do right. The next thing we do is yours.
That's fine.
Okay.
I recognize this number, though.
Oh, is it? No. What do you think?
Hello.
Oh, it's Kevin. Is it Kevin?
I believe it is.
It is Kevin. Oh, hey, what's up, Kevin?
What's going on? I'll take a card drawing, too, if you're handy.
Okay. I'm pretty handy right now. And,
general,
now
that fine.
Someone's not trying to distract me. My wife was teasing me. She was doing all kind of weird stuff to distract me. Okay, so let's take a look first. Gold or purple? Daniel?
Let's go with golden.
Gold, okay, very good. Okay. All right. Daniel's business, electrical contracting?
Yeah, electrical business.
Electrical business, okay. Sure. One moment.
Daniel Michael Nolan.
You're going to have to be more aggressive about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to know? How is anyone going to know about it?
Right. And that
that's,
is actually
that's your big problem.
Working.
That's what my spirit guide said to me. You got the know-how. I think, is your brother going to help you too?
Yeah, because I live with two Unitarian ministers, and going through their congregations to find customers is something we plan on doing as
well.
You're going to have
a good two major contracts right off the rip, but after that, you're going to need more at some point very soon. And it's just when you want to go out and do something for you, sometimes your energy loops back into itself, and it just kind of gravitates in that same little localized area. And it's not expansive enough. So what you need to work on is sending out your energy and attracting abundance. Okay?
Okay.
So that's marketing. attracting abundance, and being aggressive, and being obnoxious,
right.
Beating people over the head with your business card.
Oh yeah,
you're a little too nice
it...
sometimes, and it just that's where it gets. You know, that your energy is a little too. It's not aggressive right away to push the business. I mean, it's not. I'm not getting anything bad, but I want to see you get more contracts. Is what
well,
I'm saying.
Thing. There aren't a whole lot of solid things yet, so it's all in its new stages. But I have been generating little jobs here and there. So it is accurate because I think I really need to push and really mm-hmm. need to, which is all things I've been aware of. You know, just start my.
A really good book is Money Magic, and it is by Frator Frator. UD, and it's translated from the European version into English just recently. It is amazing. Just some really basic hermetic, money, abundance stuff. So it's great for any new business.
Okay.
Carry pyrite around and just start to really own your what are you going to call your business?
Well, right now I'm just making cards that say Daniel Michael Electrician. When I get my license, I'm going to work on a title or a.
You better. If you work on a title, then you're creating the structure behind it.
So
you right there, it's too passive. I'm not telling you this because I just like in Darren's opinion land. I'm telling you this because my spirit guide told me. He gave me a very good vision of you with a very gray, kind of flat, like kind of. It wasn't bleak. It just wasn't. It wasn't aggressive enough.
Right.
Initially. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm saying is, name the business. Get a send out tendrils of power, and let the tendrils of power replicate themselves.
And so coming up with a name. It's funny because I had that thought the other day. Because it is funny you said that. Because I really did think I didn't come up with one. But I had the thought of, you know what, maybe I should give it a good company name and not just say, oh, it's Daniel Michael.
It tells the universe, this is the energy, this is what I want to see.
It helps.
You know?
It gives it a package, gives it a thing to focus on kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here it is.
It just, and it just sounds better than Daniel Michael Nolan, dude that does stuff. I use my name as, but that's, I'm a psychic, so that's,
right.
But that's, hence, the name of the show. Now I'm going to try to work that into maybe a couple different aspects of, like, a book I'm writing and a method that I'm going to teach and the whole thing, so that way, it's kind of this whole ubiquitous sort of term.
Yeah, I got you. My cat has joined us if you can't hear everybody.
Oh, good. Yeah, your cat's turning. My dog's deciding that it wants to be on the floor. That's true. So let's see about your music situation.
Oh, wait. Hold on, Darren.
Oh,
we do have another caller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take this caller then.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and we have 510. You're on the air.
I just called in. To listen, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've been here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, then.
Did you have a spiritual question?
What kind of question?
Did you have, like, a spiritual question or a question about any aspect of your life that's happening right now?
Maybe you can. Well, yes, I do. Like, there are some...
What?
For family members that have some issues, and so if you can address that at all, like the best way to approach people that just seem to have a lot of unresolved issues.
Okay, so what you're saying is a pretty expansive statement. You're saying that I have family members that have issues. Okay.
Yes.
Do we have one or two that are the main problem that we could kind of focus on that?
Well, I'd rather not talk about it on the air.
Okay, how about this? You want to get it in your mind of what you want. You want a resolution to help you deal with the situation. How about that? Get it in your mind. What's your name?
This is Sheila.
Oh, okay. So get it in your mind. Hey, stop that. Get it in your mind, and then I'm going to pick a couple cards and tell you what they say, okay? I'm going to ask what you need to do to help you with this situation. Okay? Sound all right?
Lisa, tarot cards?
What?
Do you do
tarot cards? Yes. Uh-huh, they're tarot cards, yes.
Oh, that's okay. I don't want you to do it. That's okay.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you for calling.
Have a nice evening. Hey, stop. Stop that.
Okay, I guess he was calling just to listen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. They're in the people in the queue, and sometimes they're calling in the queue just to listen. And some people are uncomfortable in their spiritual practice with, you know, something like the cards or divination, things like that. So, but I will let you know that part of Darren's practice also involves, you know, archangels and elements of Christianity and.
I have a actual archangel candle in front of me right now with a rosary wrapped around it, and I'm actually, as we speak, charging it for someone to hopefully get full custody of her little boys from the, you know, drug addict ex-husband. So, you know, to cut away the negativity of that situation. So hopefully that goes well. You know, positivity in its full form. And just moving forward, you know. I'm appealing to the highest agency I can because I think that's what needs to be done. That's what the situation needs. So let's take a look at your...
Kevin was on the line. Maybe we'll skip to him.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah. Hello? Kevin?
Yeah.
You've been waiting a while.
Okay. So, Kevin, you just want me to see what I get?
Yep.
Okay. One moment. Okay, you've been building really mammoth energy. This energy usually comes out of you and creates different constructs. These constructs range in anything from videos to your own tarot deck to all sorts of things, radio show, all sorts of stuff. You've just been building a mammoth amount of energy reserves now, and it's ready to pour out, but it's like you need that kind of mold to kind of pour the energy into. Some of it wants to readjust into reworking your actual physical space and your living space so that it's even more comfortable than it is, or adapting, like, maybe possibly location, but more of just, like, making it comfortable and more totally livable and totally, like, maybe almost a temple sort of situation. The other aspect is putting it into the next aspect of the next project that you want to do. However, this hasn't completely fleshed itself out yet. So what you're lacking in the mix, what the ingredient that's missing, is that variable of inspiration. So how do we get inspiration? I would say maybe you need to get in a car and drive somewhere that maybe has like megalithic, like nature-based stuff, or maybe, you know, drive up to Chicago or wherever is close that you can kind of maybe have some sort of experience that's a little bit more maybe cathartic than you would have in your local area, possibly. And then maybe bouncing off of that, then you can funnel all that because you have reserves of energy. So that's where when you pick whatever the next thing is, it'll manifest itself to the nth degree, okay? Whereas what I was telling Daniel, he needs to build up a little more of that energy. You have it built up. You just need the mold to kind of pour that energy into. And I'll pick a couple of cards too on that.
All right.
Okay, just one second. Oh, yeah, the death card. Wow, how about that one? Hold on. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know. I think that you get the death card, and I have the Seven of Swords inverted, so it's saying that you know, clear thinking, communicating at a high level, and kind of going through a transformation for the next stage of your life. I think that Kevin from 5 years ago is largely not going to be part of the equation anymore. Kevin from 5 years ago, your wants and needs are going to be completely different. I think that you're going to go through your own sort of spiritual renaissance of sorts, and at that point, then you can use those energy reserves to kind of just bolster who you are. You know, you're probably experiencing a lot in dream state, REM sleep, astrally. You're probably experiencing a lot, and you can't exactly put it down to, like, being something incredibly specific at this point, but you're transforming. You're changing. And the type of spiritual worker you are is going to be changing. The type of media personality you're going to be is changing. It's all changing. And that's why you can't put that reserve of energy out yet, because you don't know what you want to do with it. So wait for it to change and then do it.
So, all right, that's good. I just got back from my first Beltane circle with, like, 50 people or more, like, uh-huh. The first time in, like, probably 15 years.
Oh, beautiful. How about that?
And was okay. Out at an ancient site here in southern Illinois. It's very spiritual. And that was the place I used to go to when I was a kid. So it's like I'm reconnecting with my roots. So everything you said is valid. It's in motion. And I was just reading, like, a 511 showed up for me, and I went and looked it up on my site myself. As you know, I'm the primary student of the Horizon Oracle. And it talked about me moving also, or that I would be getting help moving with somebody, or someone would help me move, that kind of thing. So it can be about household, or it can be about job, or all of the above. So
I think all
I
of the
feel
above.
Like I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
Validated that for me.
Yeah, and I didn't need to really dig for your stuff. That's how mammoth your energy is, Kevin. I didn't have to dig very much. It's just there. So it's ready to manifest in Beltane. I mean, what's Beltane about? It's about, like, let's grow, what's fertility, what's being, you know, what are we sowing, what do we want to, you know, what kind of abundance do we want? So this is that.
And we even
beautiful.
Danced the maypole. We had 50-plus people mm-hmm. with maypole strands trying to do the maypole dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
I love it. Yeah, I did it. What was it? Oh, gosh. One of those festivals that's, the one that, you remember Frank, right?
Yeah.
The one where he was like in, he looked like Sergeant Slaughter. He was all like geared up and like, but like hunting copperheads to save everyone. But yeah, no, I love the maypole thing. I mean, it's just so just powerful, ancient and fun in general, you know, so there's that too. It just goes to show you that, you know, the ancient rituals are not lost on all of us, you know, they're really not. I mean, they're a part and they're a fabric of who we are, so that's really good.
Yeah,
well,
so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
we actually both
hear.
Went through that. I mean, my wedding was like, I mean, you know, just being on the banks of the Mississippi River and having the ritual, and then this mist just rose out of the river, and it was just,
that's nice.
It was just incredible. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can hear, there's a very loud purr here, folks. I don't know if it's picking up on the phone.
Wow. What's your cat saying?
I'm a half hour from the Mississippi.
I don't
even
have the bone right on this cat. I'm holding it, like, away from my mouth, and you can hear it like that. Wow.
What's your cat's name, Daniel?
His name is Prince, and then his nickname is Goob. Sometimes they call him Goob.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear me?
The artist formerly known.
Yeah.
Did you hear me, Darren? I'm a half hour from the Mississippi also.
Yeah, see? We do have, well, maybe that's your energy. I just shot my my consciousness right up the Mississippi towards you, you know? Because I got your stuff right up, just boop, it was quick. And I just pulled the moon, too, just randomly, so. A lot going on. I'm going to have to look at, once we got, we just bought a car and some other stuff, but now that things are going to get settled down a little bit, really want to manifest some really mammoth inspirational energy for this upcoming year. I think it'll be good. Hey Daniel, who's 313? Who's that?
Yeah, we have a caller.
Oh, that is somebody. Okay.
And you're on the air. I think I know who this is.
You better know who this is, Daniel.
Can you hear that?
Isn't
the cat is an easy date.
Hello.
So pick a card for me. You pick the deck.
Okay. Well, you have to pick the deck.
You do both.
I have to do both. It's you connecting with spirit. That's the whole point of the exercise of you picking the deck. So, purple or gold?
Purple,
okay. Alright. Okay. And you just want me to pick cards about what's going on with you? Is that what you want me to do?
Nice and general,
easy peasy.
What?
I said nice and general, easy peasy.
Okay, nice and general. Okay, cool. Easy peasy, spin. One moment.
Order.
All right.
Sounds like he's wrecking the place.
Okay, good gravy. All right. Okay. The Emperor inverted. The Emperor is an administrative force, a leader, a masculine energy that is a little bit tyrannical due to the fact that it is inverted. So we're dealing with somebody with a lot of mammoth administrative power, a lot of masculine power that is being a little heavy-handed as we move forward into the next upcoming month or so. So dealing with that is going to be kind of an issue. I think that you might want to take a step back, because then I get the Five of Cups. And the Five of Cups is like crying over spilled milk. Cups are emotions, feelings, spiritual soul connections. And if we're having soul connections and we're feeling regret and we're crying over spilled milk, maybe we shouldn't have dealt with what this tyrannical Emperor person is doing. The Nine of Cups is feeling emotionally satisfied, stabilized, leveled out. The Nine of Cups, a lot of decks show a big fat chef guy with all these cups, and he's inviting all his friends over because he's got a big keg of beer. However, if it's inverted, it means that he's being a little bit offstandish. He doesn't want to share his beer. He doesn't want to share his emotions and feelings. He doesn't want to invite people over. So what we're looking at here is that you could be potentially getting involved with in the next 4 to 5 months in a situation that's going to make you a lot more offstandish, a lot more closed off emotionally, and kind of put you back on your soul's path by about 8 months. So what you might want to do is not let people get all up in your grillio and push you around too much. Be your own leader, your own administrator. Okay?
Alrighty, that sounds good.
Okay. And then we're going to pick a card just on a positive vibe to just kind of things to look forward to in the next upcoming year. One moment.
I'll knock over the gong. Good.
Okay.
We need some Jeopardy music.
Okay. I know, it's like I hate, but I have to cycle in the spirit, and if I don't, then I just, you know.
Still need Jeopardy music.
You need to do, all your other cards were more soul, more cups. So this card I got was the Nine of Pentacles, and it's inverted. So what it's telling me is that you shouldn't worry so much. You shouldn't be so involved with, like, the rat race of, like, work, stuff, shopping stuff, material stuff, physical, like, comfort. You need to go on your soul's journey. So you need to journal, you need to blog, you need to get books on chakras, you need to spend time alone in the woods, or, you know, buy one of those wooden, you know, Buddhist like, you know, one of the beads or something. Do spend time with yourself and in your soul's path, okay? And because if you're worried about, like, oh, my gosh, I just got to make sure I always have enough money and all that stuff, you're going to be wasting, you're going to be kind of setting yourself back a little bit, okay? Well, and on the good note, the Nine of Pentacles means that you're really not going to have to worry too much about money, so don't let yourself worry if you don't have to. So there's that. Okay?
Okay. Interesting enough. Something to look at.
Well, that's good. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you for the reading.
Sure.
And thank you very much for calling, Marcy. Was there anything else you wanted to or wanted to
did
add?
Did you want to, is there, do you have a experience with manifesting during any physical interaction with somebody or to, with tonight's theme that you wanted to talk about?
Go ahead and talk about it if you want. It's, I think it's adult rated.
Are you sure it's adult rated?
I could check. I could change it. That's
no,
one thing
I think we're PG-13, Daniel.
Oh.
And the one experience I would share is definitely not PG-13, so we'll save it.
Okay.
I'll call you when you call me tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
then.
If you wanna, if you have a question about something specific, I just went into what was coming up for you, pretty much. So, but if you had some a concern about something specific, then we can look at that too.
No, not at all.
Okay. All right.
All right then. Well, thanks for calling.
Right. Have a nice evening.
You too.
Okay. Thanks.
That's all.
Yeah, that doesn't look bad. It just, you know, sometimes we have a weird 5 months. Sometimes we learn lessons and deal with people that, you know, we normally wouldn't deal with, you know, but that's how we learn. You know, we learn about ourselves and we learn about what we want in a relationship and or what we don't want. You know, that's how we learn. And that sort of thing.
Well, certain things are just about, to me, just about progress and, you know, everything that you go through as you're building things and progress. And relationships aren't always easy, so the things don't always just end like, you know, oh, here, you know, here's absolute this and absolute that. So things are about progressions and just like me with the circle one. I got a lot of work to do to build it and a lot of networking to do to build it.
Right, right. And that's, you know, we need different things at different times, okay? And maybe some people need a tyrannical person to come in and say, look, shut the hell up and do, you know, do this. And some people just, sometimes you need that. Because, you know, like I used to say, I used to be able to get up and do, I could spend, you know, I work maybe 3 or 4 days a week, and then I had all weekend to do whatever the heck I want. So, you know, turn me loose to do, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I could end up spending a lot of money and just not doing a lot of proactive or constructive things in the course of a weekend. So sometimes you need somebody with a heavy hand to come in and say, okay, hey, buddy, you know, don't do that. And maybe that's what she needs. I'm not sure.
Well, what, or something that feels more secure, perhaps. But the thing is, with all readings, is they're all little, like the one lady asked you a question. She said, well, you know, can I turn this card around? Well, of course, that's what they're, that's kind of what it's there for. You know, it's there to be something to teach, to something to learn from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is there, especially the major arcana. The major arcana are, I always say, if you get the major arcana, you know, that card, if you get temperance, the whole idea is you better either figure out how to relax and chill out or you're gonna be struggling with the fact that you can't do it, you know. But either way, it's the whole theme of either learning how to be patient or struggling with the fact that you can't be patient, the theme is still patience. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the theme. It still doesn't matter if it's inverted or not inverted. Like the death card. If you get the death card, you will be transforming. It will be happening. You can ignore it, but it's still going to happen, you know. So you can act like it's not. And that's where, you know, like with the tower, I always give people the visual of, like, the tower is like, okay, it's a structure that it's like your tower, like, fell down. You know, you've been building this tower, the stone structure, every brick in it has been, like, a little situation that you've created for yourself over the years or weeks or whatever. So, and you're up in that tower and you're trapped in it. And then when lightning hits it, you fall out of it and you land and it hurts like hell, but then you're out of the tower, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's inverted, this is I give people that story, right? But then if it's inverted, you know what I tell people? But then you decide you like the tower, so you're going to start picking the bricks up and you're starting to you're standing in the rubble of the tower, but you're trying to act like everything's fine. It's like raining on you, and you're like, no, it's fine. Everything's cool. Like, no. So at that point, it's, you know, and then that's like when people don't, you know, their marriage is over. They're you know, acting like it's cool, you know, and it's just, it's not cool at that point.
Right. And we did start the show off talking, we're kind of coming down to it. We were talking about sex magic, I know, and then the readings come in, and sometimes it goes all over the place. But...
Oh, yeah, Kevin, do you have anything to share about tonight's topic?
Well, I was in the market for, you know, bringing somebody into my life a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I went and sculpted anatomic depictions into incense holders. And then I positioned the incense sticks so that they would cross each other and that the ash of the one representation would fall on the other and vice versa. It created an X and that the ash fell on each other and it worked.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hot.
Great.
And then it ended.
Oh, and then it ended. Mm-hmm. Well, and
yeah.
Everyone, listen to the archive because that's a very good, if you want a simple, you know, you want to manifest new love or having a new connection, that's a great way to do it. He just gave you a very easy template of doing something like that, some basic, that would be incense, but, you know, like the type of almost like candle magic and that sort of thing. But do you think because you kind of pushed destiny along a little bit, do you think that's why it deconstructed itself, or what do you think?
Perhaps, because the I did it on a, was it, I, it was on the winter solstice, and the detail in the facsimiles were exaggerated so that it would be sort of like a stark, like anybody looking at that would be turn, you know, red out of embarrassment or something like that because of the detail of it.
I see.
But I got the idea from a friend who lives in New Orleans or back in the 90s. She lived in New Orleans, and she was the number one museum for phallic symbols in the world.
Wow.
So you may know her. She lives in New Orleans. It may be gone now. This was some years ago. But she was a witch, and that she said, Kevin, I got all kinds of altar tools here. They're a little detailed, but they will work. I'm like, well, I'm sort of still married, kind of stuff or whatever, but they do work. They are significant, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And it is candle magic. And if you're artistic and that you're good at sculpting and that you're looking to manifest a relationship in your life, the thing is that...
We're coming down to it, Kev. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you better believe. Sculpting is always good. Yeah, if you want to manifest just, you know, spiritual energy into your physical interactions, You can manifest whatever you want in your life. So this is Darren Bucare with Transcendence. Again, you can reach me at dbucare@gmail.com for private reading. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
All right. Thank you all. Attended. Have a great evening.